Ramble.
What is fun about the history of matzah, welcome to the tripod, is that matzah is basically the original without a recipe.
It's true.
And they were trying to make bread. They didn't know how to do it. They fucked up mightily. And I would say
they didn't know how to do it. They knew they didn't have the ingredients for
it. No. Rugrats Passover taught me that he just forgot.
Oh.
And then he goes, I just invented matzah.
Is it in the original story, they baked it on their backs in the sun?
Keith is such a better Jew than me, isn't it?
They
infuriating?
Baked it on their backs.
I believe that was the mythos of it. Now, I'm sure they baked it probably on a pan in the sun or a stone in the sun. I'm not sure. But it is very easy to make.
Like a stone.
In the sun. Anyway, we're talking about Passover this week. We're starting about Passover because...
Keith hosts Passover every year. Uh-huh. Yeah. He knows how to cook Passover food. Uh-huh. He is a better Jew than me, and it's kind of dope.
That's really nice.
I'm going to make mashed potatoes this year.
For Passover?
Uh-huh. That's you know cool. why?
Why?
Mashed potatoes are delicious.
Here's a question for you, Keith. Uh-huh. Do potatoes, when they go green, can you not eat them?
You're not supposed to.
But I know, but...
I think there's certainly... if it's a teeny bit green, you're probably going to be fine. If they're fully green, you absolutely should not.
What's going to happen to me? You ever cut the spud away?
Yeah, I know. You're not supposed to do that either.
It's poison.
Is it poison?
It's just going to give you diarrhea.
I mean, welcome.
I'm going to have that from the milk and butter and the potatoes anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. Well, unfortunately, you know, we're having fun, obviously, but we do need to talk about something really deeply serious.
What do we need to talk about?
Well, Keith.
We don't talk about Bruno on this.
Don't talk about Bruno, but people responded to the most recent episode and they were livid. I don't know if you didn't listen, but...
I listened, but I didn't like... I normally... There's not a soundtrack of listeners of the podcast for me to listen to.
That'd be cool, though.
Yeah. A podcast you guys make where all of you are listening and just sort of talk and there's sort of a crowd murmur the whole time.
Just scoffing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Occasional laughter.
I received dozens of feedback from people just... heartbroken about our words about Indianapolis. Mm. Heartbroken, shattered, broken even.
Were there any in that mix that were like, yes, you were right, but?
Almost all of them.
Yeah. Okay. But now, I am upset.
I'm guessing they took the time to respond because they got nothing better to do in Indianapolis. Hey, get me.
There you go. Yeah.
You get a soundbite?
You want a soundbite?
I couldn't hear. Were you?
I think you were just lowering your...
I was just lowering your mic.
Oh, I thought you were going to give us a...
Oh, no, that'd be cool. Hang on.
No, that's not the one. I knew it was going to be the sad trombone.
Here, hang on.
Hey,
ultimately, it's so loud, too.
It's very loud.
Well, Keith, I assembled some emails from people from Indianapolis who wanted to... And I just wanted... I feel like it's important to address controversy. We got to address the backlash.
Yeah, let's do it.
From the Indianapolis thing, so...
I am curious, Keith, did anyone come to your show... with and prove they came from Indianapolis.
I had a group of four people who carpooled together to my show, and they even brought a newspaper from Indianapolis with that day's date.
That's awesome.
They did it. They got free tickets to the show. I gave them some free stickers as well after when they came and said, hey, and it was a tremendous show. It was so fun. It was at Lincoln Hall in Chicago, which is great because normally we do comedy clubs, but this time it was actually a concert venue, which means the sound is good. The lights are dope. It's a concert, which is always super fun. And, The funny thing, and I won't go into this too much because I know we want to apologize to Indianapolis perhaps, but I did a show and there were some people in the top balcony and Huey went up there and things got silly eating chili in a gay bar because he always goes all over the audience. And he was like, after the show, he's like, there were like seven guys there and I don't know, they just seemed out of place. That's not our typical audience. I don't know who they were. And we would later find out that it was Icelandic superstar Dothy Freyr, who is a cool synth artist who competed for Iceland in Eurovision, got fourth out of all of Eurovision, which is like a huge deal. and then he was on tour and he was doing a show at Lincoln Hall a few days after. We DM'd and he said, love the show. And I saw that he actually had sent me a DM in 2018 saying that his wife said we were similar. And we are somewhat similar. And then as luck would have it, he was playing a show in West Hollywood this past week. So I went to his show.
Whoa.
So within a week, he saw my show in Chicago and I was able to see his show in Los Angeles. And his show was way better than mine. The show was out of control. Amazing. It was just him and this other girl, and it's a synthesizer band, yeah, right? So you know I love it. And he was rocking the synths. He was rocking the modular synths, the analog synths, the digital synths. It was fucking incredible. He was singing. It was so cool. It was great. I recommend you look up Dadi Freyr, and you would actually spell it D-A-D-I, because that's actually an Icelandic letter that we don't have. Mm. I think his Instagram is Dadi Makes Music, but he's cool. He's super cool.
Whoa.
That does sound cool, but another year victory lap.
Enough.
It's time to pay the piper. Keith, you said some incendiary things, and you alone said those nasty things.
That's right.
That's true. It's just me.
That's Keith.
You said you shared a document. Is it time?
I shared a Google Doc.
Oh, I'm invited to edit it. Okay, I can change how this comes across entirely. Okay. Hello, Try Guys. I listen to every episode of The Tripod on my commute to work, and now I'd like to express my disappointment in the commentary that was made toward my home city in the recent episode of The Tripod. Dun dun. I've watched Try Guys content since high school. This is meant to make you feel old. No retribution for your comments, by the way.
The fuck was that skip, Miles?
And to be very honest, Keith, you have always been my favorite. Therefore, your steadfast commentary has made me most disappointed. I do not live with my parents. In fact, my parents moved away from Indy, and my husband and I chose to stay in Indiana, even with some of the most mobile occupations people can have. Let me share with you some of the small but important highlights and fun facets of Indianapolis. We have a cat cafe.
A cat cafe.
We have the best weekend in gaming, Gen
weekend
Con.
In gaming.
And we do have some stuff. Just like other cities like Chicago, we have a fine zoo, a great state museum, and plenty of venues for performing arts and visiting artists.
That's damn right.
And it has been said before that Indiana is a great place to live, but not to visit. Partially, I agree. I enjoy living in Indiana. I agree I like to travel.
You've got some points.
There are some awesome things to do in other cities. Nonetheless, the extensive slander from the Try Guys was uncalled for, and I pose this question to you. Have you ever considered, Keith, maybe it was not Indianapolis? Maybe it was you?
You.
Best wishes, Megan. P.S. I sincerely love the podcast. If I still go for the miles is the best part. I will now go watch a movie this very evening. Thank you, Miles, for the advice. Take all my commentary with love. I thought it might be funny. I love all your content. Sending love from Indy. Mm-hmm. I will say, I was thinking about Indianapolis, obviously. And there is a really good big Jewish deli
really
that I used to stop through, and that
would be Mi Gente.
That's cool.
It was really good, and it was like I remember I used to drive through Indianapolis, and it became the one thing we would actually stop and go to in Indianapolis because it was like I don't remember what it was called, but it was good.
So that's your official apology, is that good Jews?
Yeah, they got some good Jews down there.
I mean, I had a good sandwich.
Yeah.
I do like cats. I love a good cat cafe. So.
I've never been to a cat cafe.
Oh, bro.
I feel like I'd be sneezing up a storm.
You got to get down to Indianapolis.
Take Claritin.
Oh, yeah.
You that's take some drugs.
Yeah. Over the counter.
Pet the kitties.
That's cool.
Then you
spill some coffee on a cat.
I know. What if the cats freak out?
They're
going
to try to make you adopt a cat. That's the secret agenda of cat cafes. Yeah. It's an adoption center.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought it was just sort of like come and fucking have a sandwich.
No.
But aren't the cats going to be like, give me some?
All right, first of all, you shouldn't be in a cat cafe.
First of all, I don't think it's not
what
even,
kind of podcast is this?
Typically, it's just coffee. There's not a lot of food because I think they don't want people to give sandwiches to the cats.
Not only that, typically they don't actually have a cafe within the cat cafe because it's a health code violation.
Oh, really?
So, yeah.
Two different rooms.
Well, so they take your coffee order and then they go get it.
Yeah.
From somewhere else.
And
then they bring it over.
Yeah.
Wow. Weird.
I went to a cat cafe in Santa Barbara and it was so cute.
Yeah.
It was so cute.
That's awesome.
It was cute. I petted
I hate this voice.
I petted all the kitties.
It was so cute.
I petted all the kitties.
Oh, I don't
They
like
jumped
it
in my lap and I was petting them.
This is a private voice between you and Becky.
Yeah.
No, between me and my cat.
It felt sexy, didn't it?
Yeah, it did.
Oh, you little kitty, get over here.
Yeah, it feels
like, really.
I like that you guys think that's a sexy voice. There's so many more.
The sexiest thing I've ever seen. Yeah.
Okay, this is a list of good things that they say that is good.
Okay.
They got Long's Bakery. Bring cash and get the blueberry cake donut. Life-changing. Hear that, Ned? Bring cash.
Bring cash.
The
cash
Indianapolis
outside,
Children's
baby.
Museum, not just for children. It's for losers in Indiana too. Oh. That's not what it says. That's not what it says. I apologize. I take it back.
Keith,
I take it back.
Come
immediately.
On, we've taken enough controversy from the city of Indianapolis. We got to reach out to the mayor. And see.
There is a vintage arcade called Tappers. That sounds cool.
What if we try to get the mayor on the podcast?
I like that.
That'd be dope.
To defend Indianapolis?
Yeah, to be like, Keith said some shit and now he hit the mayor.
Let's look up who the mayor is.
We could get an honorary key to the city.
That, somehow?
You think I can?
You think just because you're internet famous, you can get an honorary key to the city?
That's how
right?
I think it works. Yeah. And by the way, I heard that Joe. Tappers is a retro arcade, not by choice, but just because they didn't update it since 1974.
It's retro now.
Joe Hogsett.
Joe Hogsett, shout out.
That's a good name. Yeah, that's really a porn good. Name if I ever heard one.
And he is the mayor. He used to be the Secretary of State of Indiana.
Shut the fuck up. Hogsett?
Yeah.
Mayor Hogsett?
Chairman of the Indiana Democratic Party.
Hogsett had trouble in elementary school with that name.
Or
they were like, yo, hog.
He'd be like, yo, I hear you're set like a hog, big boy.
It's, oh my God. Jesus Christ.
Dude, I think we need to issue another apology.
To Joe Hogsett. Apologize to Joe.
Joe. I apologize. Unless you are set like a hog, in which case, nice.
He's definitely set like a hog.
We don't know. He looks like a normal guy. Looks like a guy. Yeah. So he looks like he's old.
Hey,
he probably is.
He looks good.
You're talking about
good.
He's old. You better hope pray you look that good.
Hair.
You better hope you look that good.
Yeah,
dude, I would love to look that good whenever I'm as old as he is. He's 65.
Damn, he looks good.
He looks pretty good, actually.
You should go golfing with Mayor Hogsett.
Oh, my gosh. Golfing with mayors with Keith.
Golfing with mayors with Keith.
I'm not good at golf. Very bad at golf.
Pretty funny.
The only time I played golf is the 4v1 golf video where I threw my club on the first hole about probably further than I ever hit the ball.
And you're blackout drunk in this.
Yeah.
In this series.
I'm mostly talking about their dick size while we hit the ball around.
That's a good world tour, actually.
Yeah.
If you guys were the mayor of a city, what was one thing you'd be like, that's what I'd do first day? First day in office, you're the mayor of like a small town, like, I don't know, a couple thousand people.
Oh, I'd throw myself a party. I'd give myself a local holiday.
Yeah, a local holiday is
Keith
good.
Day.
Yeah. Keith Day.
I'm not actually sure what powers a mayor has.
Well, right. That's kind of the thing. That kind of like, it's more like for the, you know, for the face of it.
They must have holiday making power.
I feel like they just like do the how fast the crosswalks go.
Get the mayor be like, oh, hey, we're not, all things are canceled today because of X thing that happened in the world, you know, like when there's a tragedy, typically they can be like, okay, hey, everything can be closed today. Schools can close.
Oh, really?
I assume.
That's probably
who does that? Maybe the governor?
No.
For the state, or can it be on the city level?
They're busy arguing.
Like, what
about
if there was like a prominent city celebrity?
Yeah.
And they died suddenly and tragically. And it was like they were the heartbeat of the city. Do you think that the mayor could be like, hey, everybody,
like,
go
for
home
instance,
and be with your loved ones.
In Indianapolis, when Keith dies, they're going to throw a big old celebration.
Exactly. Yes. 100%.
Right. They're going to fucking party.
Ding dong, the Keith is dead. Which Keith? How much Burger Keith? So the mayor directs the administrative structure, appointing and removing of department heads. While the council has legislative power, the mayor has veto power. So the mayor can just like assign people to do stuff. An emergency power. Mayor of LA is
Garcetti.
Is it still Garcetti?
Is it?
He talks to me when I'm at the airport.
I went outside his house.
You hear his voice saying, I'm Eric Garcetti. Yeah. This is Los Angeles Airport. Thanks for coming to the airport. Have a good time in our city. Spend your money and leave.
You guys want to hear about a real boner move I pulled?
Uh-oh.
Yes. I wasn't sure if I was going to share this with the world.
Hell
but
yeah.
Then I realized this is...
A good embarrassing moment is always worth a podcast.
So I went to my brother-in-law-to-be's bachelor party this past weekend with a bunch of rowdy boys. Went down to this small town in Mexico that my family likes to go to, and we know the way. So it was like nice, chill weekend. You hear Mexico weekend, and you're like, oh, shit, those boys are going to nightclubs and shit. Nah, we didn't do that. We just hung out on the beach. Got a boat, went into the water. It was nice.
Chill weekend in Tijuana?
Chill weekend in Tijuana. No, it was down in Puerto Vallarta. Mm-hmm. So I go to this place a lot. It's a very routine flight, super easy. You don't even go to the international terminal. 3-hour flight, nothing. Mm-hmm. And
you don't have to go through the international terminal?
No, it just goes out of like the normal...
It's like a domestic flight?
It isn't, but yeah, it's out of a domestic terminal.
How do they check your passport? They just do it.
They
at
do
the
it
date?
There. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, that's cool.
Fuck, LAX.
Yeah, man.
Oh, LAX, all right.
Wow, yeah, so you go out of like your normal Delta or United crazy. Or whatever. Yeah.
Cool.
So I've done this a million times. Right. I make my checklist. I make sure I have everything. I get down to the airport and I'm like, this is basically just like going to freaking Vegas or San Diego for the weekend.
Yeah.
So relaxed that I got to the airport, went to check in, realized I did not bring my passport.
Oh, no.
Oh, boy.
Zachary. And so I was like, oh, fuck, if I go.
And you're a real get to the airport with only as much time as you need.
Yeah. There's well, no this time I was a little early. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh my God, if I go home and back,
you won't make it.
Fucked. I won't be able to do that. So I'm like, okay, what do I... So I start and I'm just like, okay, I can't go. I'm looking at other flights. Then right. I go, wait a second. What if the passport could come to me?
Hell yes. Okay. I love this. Right. This is a great idea.
And so I go, okay, Jack, what are you doing right now? Do you want to end today
using
early?
Company resources.
This is pretty good. This is good. It's Friday.
Who knows?
Thursday.
It was early in the week. It was Tuesday.
Yeah, you're
Tuesday.
Right.
So I go, Jack, whatever you're doing, go to my house, break in. You know where the secret key is, bro? Go get it. Bowie's gonna bark. Don't even worry about it. Just say, not now, Bowie. Get in that car. And so then while he's doing that, I go to the gate agent and I'm like, hey, what is the latest I can get through this gate? What is like how long? And because I Google, and it's like for international flights, they close the doors to the plane like 30, 40 minutes before takeoff. Mm-hmm. But this ain't regular international. This is Mexico, baby. Mm-hmm. So they're like, we can let you on 10 minutes before takeoff.
Wow, that feels unsafe.
It feels wrong. But I'm like, okay. So I'm just waiting. I'm pacing. I'm like fucking.
Wait, but you have to then go out of security.
I'm not in security. They won't let me in.
Yeah, okay, right. Yeah, so you have to get through security.
He's out the side because he doesn't have a passport.
I'm just on the street, baby. You know that meme of from True Detective where McConaughey's chain smoking the cigarette looking at his phone. Right. I'm like refreshing how long it's going to take to get down the 405.
Jack, turn on Find My Friends. Let me watch you drive.
Yeah. He shared it.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. Now, awesome. When you were getting on the plane, was everybody else already seated being like,
why are we taking off?
Yeah. 100%. Oh, it's not a great feeling, but you know, they kept there was one person after me.
Wow. Hey,
really?
It wasn't your fault then.
Yeah. Wasn't
your fault. Some other schmuck. Hey, have you played Kirby?
No, I haven't played the new Kirby.
It's fun.
It looks scary.
It's crazy. It's just a good time. Yeah. It's not that hard. Although there was one boss, I think maybe it took me 2 tries, but that was actually also because my Switch controllers, they fucking suck.
Yeah. Kirby is also, he sucked up a car.
He sucks up a car. He sucks up more than that. The car is just the surface. The cars that you see in the trailer,
That's barely.
What are you talking about?
Sucks up doors. He basically instead
you
of just
suck up a door.
So instead of just sucking up goblins and taking their powers, he can basically he just sucks up other stuff.
About time.
And he can fly.
Yeah.
He can become a car.
He could already fly.
Right, but he can fly like a glider.
Yeah.
Like, and so what makes the game so fun, this is a free advertisement for the game, is that as soon as you get kind of bored of the mechanics, it's like, hey, well, what if this game was just a racing game? And
that's
levels
cool.
Of just a racing game. Like, oh, what if this game was a boat game? It's like, oh, hey, whoa, actually, wait, what if this game was an airplane dodging game?
Tell me more about this door. What happens?
Well, sometimes you just suck up a door and then you open the door.
Oh, that makes no sense.
Sometimes it's very simple and you just have to suck up a door and tear the door down.
And you couldn't just turn the doorknob?
Mm-mm.
Well, he's
Kirby.
He has little nubby hands.
He only knows how to breathe in, breathe out.
Hey, everybody. Normally, I bleep the inappropriate stuff we say on the podcast, but there's too much here to be bleeped. So I just wanted to warn you, if you're listening to this in front of kids or something, maybe skip ahead for the next 4 minutes. We're talking about beloved cartoon character Kirby and other things that he might suck up. Okay. Enjoy. Yeah, what about, imagine getting a blowjob from Kirby.
Oh my God, it'd be too much.
We're going there.
He'd suck your dick right off.
So, okay, Miles, what do you think would happen?
I just feel like it'd be crazy.
And let's just say this clearly. You, the topic that you, Miles Bonsignore, the podcast producer for us would like to discuss
also, next. All these people from Indianapolis are listening.
I have a journal that's just, what if you get a blowjob from Kirby?
What would it be like to get a blowjob from Kirby?
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I think that he would, one, suck your dick right off.
And then he'd become
a
little dick.
Becomes your dick.
Yeah.
That'd be kind of interesting.
And then, like, maybe attacks you with your own dick.
Yeah, he has dick powers then. Sorry about that, everybody.
Also, the powers of the Kirby.
We're going to have to apologize next week.
In this game, the powers, like,
Mayor,
evolve.
Mayor Hoghorn is listening.
I'm sure there's fan art of it.
Of Kirby sucking a D?
Yes.
But whose D do you think the fan art is the most popular one is? Like,
Bowser?
Mario?
Yeah, Mario.
I'm looking it up.
No.
I'm Googling it so you don't have...
In the
look,
Kirby
the
universe...
audience is going to Google it.
It would probably be the tree... That has the kind of nose
you think
who
it's the,
blows.
Yeah.
You think and it's he probably tree? Has like a tree.
Guys,
dick.
Yeah. I don't know if we want to go there. What? Right, I just Googled Kirby sucking a dick. The first result is on Pornhub.
Are you going to watch it? Is it somebody dressed as Kirby sucking a dick?
Zach's watching porn of the podcast.
Zach's watching porn of the podcast.
I clicked on the images and they are hilarious. Miles, I'm your boss, so I can't show you this.
Legally,
but
yeah.
Keith, you're my friend,
yeah,
so I'll
you
show you
show
this
me.
One. Which is hilarious.
Describe That's, it to the audience.
This
Describe.
One is better.
It's yeah. like,
so this is a...
sucking a dick.
This is Kirby. This is a
that
three-panel comic.
That one's intense.
It's a very veiny, hot dog-looking dick coming towards Kirby. It gets inside his mouth, and then he transforms and now has a giant dick.
Yeah.
This one is for Kirby. Oh, God.
Your fucking Google search images results are going
to be
crazy.
This is four Kirbys of different colors, all just...
that one's really
around,
funny, but it's...
Around a dick,
it's,
just
yeah,
it's covered
porn.
In...
It's porn.
Oh, well,
that
this
was
one's
fun.
Cool, too. This one's Kirby with
is that,
a
come
dick
on, I think.
That is five times his size and giant legs. There's some good fan art out there.
Yeah.
Back to the Indianapolis document. I mean, most of these people talk about how Mass Avenue has... restaurants and bars.
I mean, that's what you're there for, though, is restaurants and bars.
Yeah, that seemed to be the main
can't
thing.
Can't get that
like,
anywhere
we have
else.
Good coffee yeah. and food. I'm like, oh, wow, so special.
I bet they do. You know what, though? I do love a little local coffee shop.
This is just to say that they have big names come in and perform there. Like, you don't get to claim them.
Yeah.
Just because performers come in and do shows there doesn't mean you have... good celebrity shows. No. That's every city has that.
But right. If you grew up outside of Indianapolis, Indianapolis is a improvement yeah. because big names come there.
The biggest one I'm excited about is the gondola ride on the canal.
Oh, that's really fun.
We had a gondolier that sang to us in Italian while we sipped wine and it was fucking magical. I'm like, that sounds pretty good.
That sounds nice.
That one sounds good. I'm into that one. And a lot of these do start out with Keith isn't totally wrong, but here's something I do like about where I am. And then they were mad that you thought Indianapolis was in Iowa, which is
yeah, which is absolutely, absolutely fair. I shouldn't have said that. Anyway, Doja Cat is in the news.
Can I posit a different topic real quick?
Yeah, for sure. I don't care.
Okay, that's. I mean, like there were some okay points in that document. So I will say that I... you know, think higher of Indianapolis than I did.
Yeah. You did, so you feel like you've been changed a little.
A little. I wouldn't be like upset if I did a show there. I'm sure I could find something fun to do.
Well, now. Mm-hmm. Now you'll be thrilled.
If they'll have me.
He will protest maybe.
Oh, what if they did? What if people are like...
You can come to the show and protest.
What if a bunch of people bought tickets and they didn't show?
Mayor.
So it looks like I'm going to have like a 250 Ooh. Like big old audience, and then it's nobody.
I bet you Mayor Hog Honker himself will be there.
Hogset. Don't say his name.
Anyways, riddle me this.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. Summer's coming.
Uh-huh.
Summer loving.
It's hot. I'm wearing shorts right now. You can't
Had
see it.
Me yeah. a blast.
Because Miles crops my dick out now entirely, so he doesn't have to blur it.
Well, yeah, I don't want to keep blurring Keith's dick.
Classic Kirby situation, am
yeah,
I right?
Really.
I am excited for the warmth. I love it. My body thrives in it. However, I feel like I've really gotten into a groove with my clothes and my layers, and I no longer know who I am. In shorts.
Oh, same.
You guys know that I've been on my little thick boy journey, getting nice yeah. and thicky.
So thick.
My shorts don't fit anymore.
Really?
I went down to Mako as established in my other story, and mm-hmm. my shorts don't fit. So yeah. I was only wearing like basketball shorts stuff with the drawstring. All my buttons
I hate
are too
those
tight.
Shorts.
Yeah.
Well, I looked cute.
Yeah, I mean, I just for me, and not about you. I personally, I don't like sweatpants. I don't like gym shorts.
Right.
Don't like those kinds of clothes.
So I don't know who I am. I feel like all my outfits are sweaters or jackets or pants. And like, can I even wear Crocs with shorts? What does that look like? I used to be an SSBD boy, short sleeve button down, but that's not my thing no mo. Maybe I'll join you back. I don't know. Who am I? Let's workshop it.
I'm on my way back
it.
There right now. I'm playing with the open.
It's hard to look sexy in shorts for me.
Yeah.
For me personally.
Why?
I've got long gams. I mean, Keith, those are nice shorts, but they're... And you know what, though? The top complements the shorts. Keith's wearing a Hawaiian-style top.
It's not Hawaiian.
Aloha.
It's also a tighter pattern than an aloha, typically.
Yeah, I would say it's not aloha at all. You're totally erroneous on all accounts.
It's a floral.
He's wearing Allbirds. He's wearing an orange
T-shirt. Then I got an orange shirt that matches the delicate amounts of orange in the shirt. And then I have a blue that brings out some of the blue outlines. I thought it out.
It's really good. Keith and Zach is wearing a winter coat. Yeah. And sweatpants.
It's too
Crocs.
It's too hot to be wearing my outfit, but I'm not ready to let go yet.
Yeah, I agree with the shorts thing. I just am like, I feel vulnerable. Like my legs or someone's going to come slap them.
I'm not afraid of that, but I do say that, you know, mosquitoes, which now are in LA, unfortunately.
Oh, yeah, they are.
Shorts make it the fair game. Everybody here, eat my legs. Eat my legs right up, little mosquitoes.
And they're aggressive. You hear about this?
There's multiple breeds here now. I know all about the new one. It's actually been here for several years, but it's frustrating. That's
right. This was one of the main draws of LA.
One of the things of moving to LA is no weather, no bugs.
No mosquitoes.
That's right.
Now we got mosquitoes.
Well, the planet's burning, baby.
Plants burning and mosquitoes.
I can't the
color war. I can't take it anymore.
We did the bugs already.
We'd all die.
We gotta live through it. Can't it take the mosquitoes with it?
I know. I wonder if mosquitoes
are
part of that.
I'll kill the bees. No, I like the bees.
Yeah, bees are good.
I think the bees are dope. Mm. I'm not afraid of no bees. The other day I was somewhere.
I ain't afraid of no bees.
Bee landed on my hand. Everybody's like, Keith, there's a bee on your hand. I'm like, yeah.
Good.
It'll be fine.
These are good.
He's not going to sting me.
Also, cherish that moment. You never know when your bee sting will be your last.
It's true.
Cherish it.
I wasn't afraid of that bee at all.
I ain't afraid of no bee.
There are bees all over my yard, and they never sting me.
But mosquitoes, you can get fucked.
Fuck a mosquito.
When a mosquito comes to my house, I'm furious.
And they're always in my house.
And they're going to eat me while I'm sleeping.
You know what I do love? Okay, I do love killing a mosquito, but weirdly...
Oh, I hate when they're full of juice.
I kind of prefer when they're full of juice.
No, because it's not just my blood. It's someone else's blood all over me.
Yeah.
That also usually means that they just ate me, so I should be upset, but there's something satisfying about it. Like, aha, you died full.
Here's a question.
You had your last meal.
Is it, I mean, what we're describing, I feel like, is writing on the wall, but I don't know if it's true that, is this summer hot boy summer?
It's actually short king spring, baby.
Oh, it's short king spring?
Is that a thing you've heard or just made up right now?
No, it's a thing.
That's really
short
funny.
King spring. Yeah. How do I, Zach, as somebody, how do I participate in short king spring?
You worship me.
I worship you, got it. Cool.
You turn the tables and say, I don't like this, and I wish I were you.
Is it I don't want to appropriate.
How's being tall, Miles?
It's good.
How's your herniated disc?
Oh, well, that sucks.
Yeah.
Herniated disc sucks.
Yeah.
Did you get your shot yet?
Yeah, it didn't do much. I was like 15%. Yeah, it sucks. 15% health, but they're going to give me more.
I was mean about it. And I hope you feel better.
No, it's okay.
Put needles in your back.
Needles in your back.
You did the other needles all over your body the other day.
I did do acupuncture.
And how did you said you were a vibration.
It was crazy. I remember I filmed the acupuncture video with you guys years ago at this point, fucking 10 years ago.
No.
But it was like 4 years ago, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, but so I did acupuncture and I was, when she first did it, like you don't really feel the needles going in, you know, much. And then she was like, all right, I'm gonna leave you here. And she would like touch parts of my body and then she would touch the like most tender part of my back where like the disc is. And she touched the part of my body and she'd be like, do you feel like any correlation here? Like when I press on this part of your body, does the pain, the pressure lessen on your back? And I'd be like, oh no, not really there. Oh yeah, there a little bit. She'd be like, okay, cool, great. And like she did a bunch of the needles or whatever. She left the
kind
room.
Kind of flicking the needles.
Yeah, she's like flicking the needles. She leaves the room. I'm like face down. All of a sudden, I feel like I'm like that feeling when you're wasted drunk on the bed and the room is spinning.
You start to get the spins?
I got the spins. I open my eyes and I'm like staring down, face down. And like the ground, it's like when your vision is just like shaking a little bit. It was so fucking weird. It was just like I was vibrating.
I do acupuncture every single week. That has never happened to me. And I'm jealous.
First time.
I mean, that's how Eugene was like, electrified. From yeah. Some people, I think, just something about their nerves. It just, yeah. something happens with the needles
my
in the nerves.
My fucking chakras were exploding out of my body. But it was crazy. And then she like did that for a while longer. And then eventually that like stopped after like 10 minutes. But it was kind of intense.
Sounds it.
It was kind of intense. And then I flipped over and she did like a bunch of, she pulled those out. I flipped over. She did a bunch of other ones and I left. And then I like have not had that good of a pain day in a very long time. Like maybe since before I even got my shots.
So you're saying the day after your acupuncture, you felt
day of,
you felt great.
I felt way, way better. Like I walked in limping, every step hurting.
Yeah.
And then like I got in my car and I was like, oh yeah, I kind of can still feel it. A couple hours later, I was like walking to the kitchen and I realized I had not thought about my back pain for like 30 minutes.
That's sick.
Wow. And I was like, that's crazy. I haven't had that type of relief in a while.
People ask me a lot because like I do acupuncture, cupping, and this weird massage every week.
Yeah.
And they... Yeah, I mean, because I'm in a lot of pain, dude. Yeah,
no, I just like absolutely. Not going. Don't tell me what the weird massage is at all.
Weird massage. Weird massage. Okay.
I would love to tell you. I'll come back. Well, but people ask me like, what it does it do, and I have no fucking idea.
Right.
I have every tool in my toolkit, and I throw them all at the pain, and I don't know what does what, and I frankly don't care, and I'm just whatever works. But I woke up this one day where randomly I couldn't move my neck more than like 30 degrees in each direction. Like I just it was like I got into a car crash and I went to acupuncture. Mm-hmm. That's when I like started again regularly. And this dude just fucking brought me back to life.
Yeah, it's so crazy.
So also, I don't know.
I was thinking about the two because like I went in being like, I don't know what this is. I don't really even know if it works, but it doesn't even matter. Like I just am in so much pain.
Sure,
it doesn't matter what if it works or not. I went in and it did help me. But then I was also thinking about it and like I've dealt with doctors lots of my life and stuff like that. Western medicine, they also don't fucking know. Like, there's so much shit. They're just like, well, did this work? I don't know. I guess that didn't work. Like,
if they typically say, try this for a few weeks, and if it doesn't work, come back and see me. Yeah, so it doesn't mean, like, this will work.
Yeah, exactly.
This has worked for someone before.
Exactly.
Maybe you too.
Right. So it's just funny to, like, that I obviously, like, the big joke is just, like, woo-woo medicine and being like, oh, Eastern medicine. Like, none of that stuff works if you're, like, a hard S science guy. But it's just like, I don't know. Doctors don't also are like,
yeah, doctors.
Yeah, we tried this, but we don't know. Like, you know.
You know, the shot that I take to control my chronic pain, it's just like, there's like 30 of them.
Yeah.
And I try one and I just have to like close my eyes and say, how do you feel, Zach? Better or worse? And then if that one doesn't work, we go to the next one. And it's like, it's just.
It's wild.
Throwing shit at the wall, see what sticks.
Exactly.
I haven't told you about my crazy massage. I had. It's like a TENS unit. Which is what?
Oh
we,
yeah, you have told me about the electric massage.
Yeah, he stands on a mat, barefoot.
Yeah,
I lay. My stomach is on another, like a conductor, and his body conducts electricity, and his hands are the TENS unit. Whoa. As he's massaging me. So he's massaging me while my body's going, bzz, and then like he'll like grab my shin, and my foot just goes like it. Just, it's forcing my muscles to contract. But you just feel tingly all over your body. But what's happening is like, he's just really getting in there into the muscle.
Sky feels one step away from supervillain.
Yeah. He's like,
you know, like if he can make this portable and he can go around and just shock people in life, he is just like an electricity-based supervillain.
That's wild.
When it's the TENS unit, like any of those things, it's forcing your muscles to contract. So there are times where like I'm basically paralyzed. Like he'll grab my wrists and my hand like shoots open. Uh-huh. And I try and just live in the moment, but I also sometimes think like, can I move my finger right now if I wanted to? And it's like, sorta.
Wow.
Yeah, it's cool.
Is this in his lair or at a doctor's
office? Yeah, you go down like 30 floors. It's a spiral staircase, lots of dripping concrete. Yeah.
Scan your retina, go through the door.
That is really wild. Did you do, by the way, you did the cryo thing, the cryo video?
Oh, yeah.
Did that help?
Cryo is one of the best feeling things for me.
Really?
Yeah. And I haven't done it in a little bit, but I mean the place that we went, Pause, though, we have buddies there. They let me come back and I feel incredible.
Oh, that's
afterwards.
Cool.
Afterwards.
I'm interested in that. I want to do the freeze man, the ice man, Wim Hof thing.
Uh-huh.
Where he's cold.
Takes you into the
It's challenging for me. But I mean I've also done the cold plunge there. Right. I like the cryo more. Mm-hmm. It's 3 minutes of you're standing in this cold chamber and you're like, why the fuck did I do this? Why the fuck did I do this? This is the stupidest thing I've ever done. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And then the second the door opens, you just like, I don't know if it's adrenaline or what,
yeah.
but it is the only thing that gives me like 24 hours of relief. Wow. And then I'm back to pain. So like that's unsustainable.
Yeah.
That's not, and it's expensive for anybody, right? Mm-hmm, so like that's not really going to solve it. But on days where I'm really bad or to kind of have that as part of the rotation, it does help.
What if you just started going to gas stations in the Midwest and spending 5 minutes in like the beer fridge?
Oh, I love that.
And then coming out. That's probably a good cheap way to do it if you're in another, if you're not in a place with a cryo, like just go every day, just stand in the beer fridge for 10 minutes. There you go. You got your cold therapy.
So when we were filming our No Recipe Road Trip for Food Network, we were in a bakery. They have one of those walk-in freezers.
Love a walk-in freezer.
And it's cold.
I, in between setups, like I just went in there and I basically was like, oh, sick. This is free cryo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was in there for 1 minute, 2 minutes, three. And like people were like, are you okay? Like, are you are you dying? I'm like, oh yeah, no, I'm good. I just, this is, but like, it's kind of a crazy thing to all of a sudden just go into a freezer and not come out.
I used to do that when I worked at a coffee shop. We had a huge walk-in freezer with like all the cold brew kegs and whatever. I just would go in there because it's so fucking hot in New York in the summer. So I would just go in and just sit in there like on my phone on my lunch break and it'd be like, yeah, that feels so good. I love it. But if you get, I always get worried because it's like the door fucking seals shut. And it's like, if I get locked in here, I'm dead in 2 hours or whatever.
I was always thinking The Shining when he gets locked in there.
Yeah.
He doesn't freeze. It's not even a freezer. It's just a pantry.
It's just a pantry.
But I think about it. I think about The Shining.
Is it spring?
Has it sprung?
Is it spring?
Yeah. There's not really seasons in LA, so it's hard to, do this.
I think it's spring because middle June is summer start. So it must be spring. April showers bring me flowers.
Give me your shirt, Keith. Let's see if I look good.
In the last couple months,
I don't know if I've been sweating or not.
In the last couple months, I do feel like I sort of like woke up and years had gone by.
Here, you can take my little jacket that shrunk in the wash.
Hey.
I mean, this is, you know, it's familiar. It's Zach used to wear these. Mm-hmm. I used to roll them up.
This used to look like a Zach look for sure. How could we get you?
Maybe my pants up.
What if you went all the way to like, I don't know, reflective pastels?
What define reflective?
Well, you know, like the plasticky, like windbreaker material.
Ooh.
What if you just were like a windbreaker pastel boy? Because those are light. You still get to wear your jackets.
Yeah.
They're very thin
They're
material.
Very thin.
They're very thin. Dumb.
Yeah.
The patterns are dumb.
I need it to be dumb.
And dumb. Then you could also still wear like similar track pants, which are still thinner, perhaps keeping you cooler. Maybe you can even get the dumb ones that have the zipper up the side.
I'm wondering, how do I layer... Okay, so right now I like layered and oversized. So maybe I should just do the shortest stuff possible. Like short shorts where my Kirby's are almost falling out.
Right.
Tank tops, but then like straps all over me.
Oh, like an old Hot Topic look, but on the chest rather than the pants.
Yeah.
That's cool.
You remember your cargo pants that had the X?
Yeah.
Do that on my short shorts.
They were cool.
That's cool. I remember I had a pair of jeans in high school that had, or it was a friend of mine, had like metal pieces hanging off, like those Hot Topic ones. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Did the school like it or not?
No, people
didn't. Because they were those, I remember when people wore that kind of stuff in Carthage that like they would like immediately be like, oh, that's outside of the dress code.
Yeah.
And they were like, no, it's not. It's like, yeah, it is. It's like, well, show me it written down. So that's actually a great story of my brother Brian accidentally being a hero to the goth kids in Carthage. So my brother Brian, who was very like sort of anti-humor type of thing, but he also like just for whatever reason in high school, he started wearing a cloak, like a full, an actual cloak.
Wow.
You know, all the way to his feet, green cloak that he had make, had a hood, and it was cool. And he just wore a cloak.
We were talking about this on Guilty Pleasure the other day. I want fashion capes to come back. So yes. Brian's always been ahead of the curve.
So he was wearing the cloak. Now, in that time when The Matrix came out and Columbine happened, a lot of schools were like, oh, you can't wear long coats. You can't wear baggy pants. They were just, everyone sort of over freaked out. And they
the
were also
cloaks
like,
are the problem.
They were also like, video games. So a teacher said, Brian, you can't wear that cloak. And he says, like, why not? It's not a trench coat. It's not like all these things you say. It's like, yeah, but it's too long. And he's like, I don't think that's in the dress code. It's like, show me the dress code. And
how old is Brian at this point?
This season, like a sophomore in high school. Okay. Maybe a junior.
I'm picturing Brian was like this in fifth grade as well.
I think teachers were afraid of Brian because he was a genius and he was like, he's a little intimidating.
Yeah, he's smart.
So he's like, show it to me. And he goes all the way to like the principal's office and he's like, well, show me where it says in the dress code that I can't wear a cloak. They pull it out. They realize nowhere in the actual written dress code does it say anything about trench coats, anything about baggy pants,
right,
anything about cloaks. So then suddenly he's like, so you were just lying. And they were like, and then all the trench coat kids who had gotten like reprimanded for wearing trench coats, they were unreprimanded and actually had to be apologized to. So he became a hero to the goth kids, although he did not want to be their hero. Wow. So all these goth kids are coming up like, hey man, that was awesome how you stuck it to the school. And like, I just wanted to wear my cloak. He's like, awesome. I wasn't trying to be your hero. And now all these goth kids are constantly talking to
Brian. You're awesome.
Like, he wasn't trying.
A goth prince.
So it was a very cool little moment. So that is something. If you are being told there's a rule, you need to see the rule.
Yeah.
You need someone to show it to you, because if it actually exists, it has to be written down somewhere. It has to actually be in the student handbook or the school handbook. If it's not there, they can't enforce it.
Mm.
They can enforce it for next year. They can add it to the book, but they can't just penalize you for something they say they can't.
I'm picturing getting pulled over for doing 90 and a 30 and be like, show me where it says.
Show me. That's right.
Yeah, I think that's how you should use this.
Prove it.
It's mostly school. Schools are out there lying all the time.
Yeah.
Schools
are out there lying.
That's right. Math's not real.
It's not real.
Zach, did you have any thoughts on the Doja Cat thing?
You want to
tell me about
that?
What is Zach before this is like, I think we do a pop culture podcast.
Yeah, he said
like,
pop culture round of Doja Cat.
Is like quitting music. I'm like, what are you talking about? She just won a Grammy.
Yeah.
So Doja Cat. Doja. We love Doja.
I like Doja a lot.
Yeah, she's super cool. I'm a big fan. But she went on a little bit of a Twitter rant. She was saying that she was going to quit, where she was going to perform somewhere in South America, I believe, a festival. Yeah. It got canceled. And she... It got canceled. It wasn't her fault. And then she didn't come out of her hotel room to say hello, I believe, to fans. And so fans were just going crazy against her on social media and, trying to reprimand her. And it was kind of this discussion of what do you owe your fandoms? And she went on, said a bunch of things like, I'm not built for this. Screw this. I'm out. I quit. I'm not built for this life. And she's still maybe, I get like this pop culture roundup email every day and it's like Doja's still quitting. I don't know. But
she won a Grammy.
I think she'll it's like, first of all, that's crazy. Like celebrities don't know you anything, they're not your friends.
Celebs are not your friends and you don't actually know them. Yeah. But I was thinking, this is gonna convolute this point, is that I am grateful for the listeners.
Of course.
And I don't think I say that enough.
Oh my God, of course.
You guys are here listening and I'm grateful. Like, you know what? I want you to think that I'm your friend.
Well, that's the danger.
Should I be saying thanks to all my fans, I love all my fans more often? Do fans want to hear that? I feel like it...
Do they even want to identify as fans?
I think it comes off cheap when people say, I love all my fans.
I think it does.
Because I think
cheap.
That a lot of times, like, that's just pop stars saying that. And maybe they do mean it. But I don't know. I feel like calling them fans is almost belittling.
Some shows I listen to where they're like, we want to thank all our fans. I'm like, man, I ain't your fucking fan.
Yeah,
I
right.
No, right.
I just listen to you.
100%.
Don't tell... And then, so, you know what? Don't... You're not my fan.
What does a
you're
fan
just my,
make?
You're the person hanging out with us in your ears.
Yeah. My followers.
Listeners.
I don't know. They all sound
followers
wrong
sounds
to me.
Cult-y, but is technically true because they follow you.
Thanks for watching.
Like a lot of people listening right now, if we were like, hey, we just want to thank all our fans.
It's
they'd be like,
dumb.
Fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. No,
what about my supporters?
My supporters.
My listeners.
My listeners is, I think,
Hey, here's something cool. We're nominated for 3 Webbies.
Hell yeah.
And we need our fans to vote because that's how it works.
That's
so I need
right.
you to give your email to them.
This
so
is actually
that you
like,
can say I'm good.
It is kind of huge. Okay. There's a couple of the digital award shows. We talked about how the streamies fucked us over and then turned out they didn't. You remember that?
That was a different apology podcast I had to do.
That's right.
The Webbies are big. It's a big deal. It
a
lot of huge brands, and every year we kind of roll our eyes at the Webbies, but not this year.
Because we're in it.
Because we're in it. But it's always like, best digital show. And
we're still against impossible odds.
It's like Neen Tweets and Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon's digital channel. Sesame Street. I'm like, dang, I don't think we should beat
crazy.
Sesame Street.
That's so crazy. Yeah.
I remember last year it was like behind the scenes for the new Star Wars movie. And I'm like, how is that a web series? But that's what we're up against. You know, these are like the biggest brands in the world, like Nikes and Nike. That's the only brand
Nikes
I could think of.
Nikes and Adidas.
But we got nominated for three of them. The Try Guys for the best whatever.
It's just entertainment video. Just
we're without a recipe for best comedy series. And Eat the Menu for Best Food Series.
Yeah.
That's great.
So Keith was nominated for three. I was nominated for two.
Feels good.
Three for three.
Feels good. I mean, it's very... I was definitely like... Because we got an email from our PR team being like, congrats on your Webby noms. But it didn't have the link to them. So I just searched and I finally found the Try Guys one. I'm like, oh, that's cool. We got nominated. Yeah. And like, that's cool. And then later in the day, Nick sends an email out and being like, we're Webby nominated. I'm like, oh, cool. And I was like, yeah, Try Guys. Like, oh, without a recipe. He's like, Eat the Menu.
That's huge.
This, people think this should win an award? Oh, yeah, it should. I also filmed one yesterday, so it felt very serendipitous.
Really cool. Which one is it that's nominated?
It's just the show.
Oh, the show in
the
general?
The show.
Oh, that's
the
awesome.
The product of Eat the Menu that's is really what good. The people want. Now, I am against Gordon Ramsay.
Yeah.
Mythical Kitchen.
It's so tough.
Another large brand. And then some guy who I need to look up because it's just some guy. And
it was
some young guy. I'm like, I need to look up this guy. He's probably like me. Yeah. No chance at winning this.
So for the Webbies, there is what the council
thinks
is the best. And then there's the audience.
Right.
So we got two chances to win a little springy
there's
award
no
here.
Way the council's going to be like... The one where he eats garbage for an hour. That's the one.
That'd be awesome.
But maybe. I think every single episode is like a miniature version of Super Size Me.
Yeah, pretty much.
And I think, I was actually realizing yesterday, I've probably eaten the same amount of garbage in the Eat the Menu history as that guy ate in Super Size Me for that year.
Absolutely.
Because I'm eating so much in every sitting, and I've done about in the high 30s, almost 40 of these now. Mm. So like, that's a lot of garbage. Right.
That's a
right,
lot
guys.
Of,
trophy award.
That's a lot of garbage.
Award winning.
I think that's fair.
I want a spring.
I'm thinking
trophy.
In this moment about, you know, some of the most impactful documentaries of the last 20 years, Super Size Me and Inconvenient Truth, Bowling for Columbine, and how they affected virtually nothing. And how
really? You think they affected nothing?
Yeah. Kind of. Fast food is as prominent as it's ever been.
They do have to post their calorie count. On the menu now.
It's just a little moment of quick depression for
me. Yeah, that's true. Documentaries exposed. They don't fix.
Yeah. It's up to
know.
Us to fix.
Born except for the one with the guy, the Robert whatever, who actually, the Jinx. He was convicted. So that one actually, congratulations.
We did it.
That's right.
Do you know my cat was found on Robert Durst's property?
Really?
That's hilarious.
Yeah. That's wild.
Your childhood cat was found on Robert Durst's property?
Uh-huh. Yeah, he grew up. So Robert Durst, his like home was across the street from friends of mine. And there was a stray litter.
Oh my God.
And that's where my cat Cooper came from.
That's wild.
And he died, too, right? Was a killer.
I think Robert Durst died.
Yeah, my cat died.
Your cat also died.
Yeah.
That's so exciting about the Webby nom. I mean, obviously,
cool.
This is a Webby
We've
award-winning
already,
podcast.
You've already technically won a Webby. You have the same amount of Webbies as us right now.
I'm a Webby award-winning podcast producer.
And soon, though, I might have more Webbies than you.
That'd be cool.
Soon.
I mean, I hope it makes no sense that we have the same amount of Webbies.
It's good. I mean, can you win both? Win the board certified Webby and the audience Webby? Or does the board say, okay, well, they won the audience one?
I think you can win both.
That'd be cool.
I want the audience one. I want the board certified one.
Of course.
I want what I imagine is like a stuffy council sitting in like an amphitheater.
Yeah.
And then they like walk up. Tum, tum, tum. It's like in Loki, the fucking judges. And then they go, presenting to the council. And they open up a laptop and it's like, oh, my ass. And it's Keith eating everything. And
I don't ever say that while I'm eating.
Ass.
Well, I'm eating.
Is it like the Academy where you can join? So it's like Tana Mojo, Ren Link, Logan Paul,
right, is it just,
and the kid.
I'm telling you, this is the big time. See, the Streamies gives it to Tana. Tana ain't nominated for the Webbies.
What's she up to?
This is the big times, Miles. Yeah. We're up. We're with the best of the best.
It used to be just a tech and innovation, like award show, and then they open it up because tech obviously started including the internet, and they're like, well, internet also has like personalities and internet has shows, so then it's like a very widespread web award show thing.
Here's a question. Should we be proud of our streamy knowing that Tana Mojo won the highest honor?
Well, she's the best creator.
Well, we won the highest honor once too.
That's what I'm saying. So should we be proud of that?
I think you should.
Yeah.
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think changed so much with her. She was a trailblazer.
Yeah, documentaries don't make impacts, but
TanaCon.
Tana did.
The TanaCon. Yeah. The TanaCon documentary, I think, actually did have a lasting impact.
Yeah. You know what?
Supersize Me didn't, but the TanaCon documentary was really good.
Actually, documentaries about...
You guys want to start over?
Should we start the whole episode over?
Talks about failed conventions are entertaining.
Really fun.
You know, Fire Festival, entertaining. There were two. You get to watch two different ones. Thrilling.
Yeah.
TanaCon, thrilling.
I never, whatever happened to that, like, When We Were Young festival? I thought that was going to be a huge flop.
Hasn't happened yet.
It hasn't happened yet?
Still young.
Okay, cool. I heard that might be the next Fire Festival, but then somebody was like, no, I don't know.
I don't know.
Everything on the internet's fake.
I don't know.
Yeah, there was some weird stories about that where one of the bands was like, we don't know that we're playing this, but it seems to be real. We'll find out soon enough.
I don't know.
I wish there was a music festival happening outside right now and we could just go out and listen to music.
Yeah.
I had a really great dream, but it was a sad dream.
Oh, no.
Where I woke up so devastated. It was very vivid. And I know you're thinking dreams are never interesting. Well, this one's going to be.
Here we go. Let's try it.
The context here is that I was at Huey Stonefish's wedding, which I, in real life, was not invited to and already happened.
Nice.
Not something I take personally. It's fine. I'm just letting you know that I was not invited.
Those are the circumstances. In real life, yes.
And so I don't know why. And he was having an optional Sabbath at his wedding where for like 6 hours, and I texted him and I'm like, hey man, how Jewish is this going to be? And he texts back and goes, real Jewish. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to skip that. this is what happened in
this
dream.
The dream. Okay. Wow,
okay. So if anyone can decode the dream out there, let me know what you think about that. Anyway, I discover a new musical artist and she is incredible and she has no followers yet. And I'm like, and then I see her in person and it's just me. And for whatever reason, it's just me and her performing in this ballroom. And she's like experimental, kind of like a Remy Wolf vibe, but like even more almost like bordering on noise pop and met like little metal. And it's like, holy shit. And she has this big persona and lots of makeup and crazy hair. And I'm like, this is fucking awesome. And I post about it. And then like her fans are like, wow, Zach knows about this music. He's so cool. Yeah. And then she sees me and is like, Zach, we should become best friends. I'm like, yeah. And then I loved it. And I remember hearing the song in my dream. And I'm like, this fucking slaps. And then I wake up and it's not real. And I like, it's like, I fell in love with a new artist that doesn't exist. And I'll never be able to. Well, no, Remy's real.
Do you not know Remy Wolf?
No, sorry.
Oh, Remy's dope.
She's cool. I feel like she's opening for Lord on tour right now. That's awesome. How you know she's cool.
Oh, Zach, do you make Spotify playlists? And Keith, you guys both have really good music taste. And I don't have any discerning music taste. And I'm trying to get into music.
Well, can I ask you, am I still allowed to be using Spotify post Joe?
I don't use Spotify. I use YouTube Music.
Is that like a controversial thing?
No.
The biggest fucking platform in the world. If you shop it in, there's no ethical consumption under capitalism. Amazon's fucking evil. You can use Amazon lightly if you
can buy my chicken sauce.
You can buy Keith's chicken sauce. Obviously, fucking, you know, yeah, Joe Rogan's evil. Spotify is the place to get music.
Yeah, I have I have free Spotify.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Through a like influencer program.
I also could have it, but I don't use Spotify. Not because I don't like Spotify. I actually think it is superior.
Yeah.
But I have YouTube Music because I have YouTube Premium.
Oh.
And so I listen.
Is it all the same stuff?
It's all the same. Okay. So I'm like, I listen to music and I listen to playlists and I listen to albums on YouTube.
Also, you know, like about 50% of our podcast listenership's on Spotify. So what up? What up, people? Hey. We love you. Yeah, I do make Spotify playlists and I love it and I will share you mine.
I would love to see it.
I'll send you some YouTube videos.
please.
I think you should listen. I think everyone should actually look up Dottie Freyer and just listen to the most viewed song because it's the one he did on Eurovision that was like the song. Because that's how Eurovision works. I didn't really understand how Eurovision worked until I was actually followed down this hole. But basically, all the countries have their own mini competitions where it's not only a good act, but you have to have a new song. and you have an act to do that song. You win, and then you win for your country, and you go represent your country at the Eurovision contest, which is hosted by whatever country won it last year.
Oh.
And you, everyone goes. So there's a lot of like very visual, weird stuff. Some of it's very funny. Some of it's very serious. Sometimes it's a band. Sometimes it's like a kind of a pop group. Like, but it's all very, it's a, just a big music variety competition show. It's the biggest deal ever, apparently. And this guy, his story is so funny. I'll give you the brief version. But he wrote a song for someone else to do to represent Iceland with. He's like, I wrote this cool song. I think it's cool. Yeah. Someone should do it. And then he's like, well, you need to find someone to do it. We can't find someone to do it for you. He's like, okay. So we found a friend who would sing it. He was going to go present it. And the friend at the last minute's like, I can't do it. I'm busy. I got to drop out.
I'm busy for Eurovision?
Well, because it was the local contest. This was to get to... He's like, I don't think it'll... You know, I just can't do it. Mm-hmm. So the mini competition is like, well, why don't you just do it, Dothy? He's like, I don't really do that. And he's like, well, just do it. He's like, okay. Well, but for Eurovision, it has to be stupid. So he got 8 of his friends to form a fake band to perform this song.
Yeah.
And they perform the song and they do very, very, very simple dance moves that are almost barely dance moves. And they advanced through because people loved it. And they got all the way through, and now they performed with sweaters of their own faces on it. So I would be wearing a sweater with my face. Each member was doing that. Mm-hmm. And it's just this really great, fun pop song. And it's really a good song. Yeah. And then all of his other music has similar vibes. Mm. But then his concert, there was a middle section that was just all experimental synth. And you know I loved it. It was weird. It was really weird and alienating. I loved it. And then it went back to dance pop, and it was great. But you should look up Dothy Freyr. Dottie makes music, I think is what it is on Instagram. But it's good stuff. And the music videos are weird.
Yeah.
Weird.
Wow.
You should listen to that.
Dottie makes music. Going to. I'm very excited. Yeah. I have nothing to add because I haven't listened yet, but I can't wait.
That's my advice for you on who to listen to in music. But maybe you're not looking for musical advice. Maybe you're looking for something new. Get ready to rock out to Miles Bonsignore.
Come.
Oh, God.
What? Make what come?
Kirby?
Way on the edge of the road. Drive your car so fast that you can't see the road. Turn signal on and honking that horn.
Now would you not be able to see the road?
Foggy night on a crystal clear night. I can't see anything. Sunglasses on and I'm going home.
I like that line actually.
My mom's at home making sauce. She's gonna give me sauce. It's gonna taste real nice.
Sunglasses on and I'm going home. Foggy night on a crystal clear night.
That's the end of the song?
That song was really unexpected.
You didn't listen to it before?
No, I never
that's
do.
That's good. That's good.
What's up, Miles Nation?
Woo!
All right!
Aye, aye, Captain!
I can hear you.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I've been a pirate. Have you ever wanted to live the life of a sailor? Oh!
Yeah.
Have you ever wanted to have a little breakfast snack?
Are you literally about to say Captain Crunch is your advice?
Is he a sea captain?
Is he about to crunchitize me over here?
Crunchitize me, Captain!
I, on a whim, was feeling depressed the other day. I bought a box of Captain Crunch.
Have you been wanting to shred the top of your mouth while eating breakfast?
And I had a big thing of Captain Crunch, and I've been eating it, and it's been just wow. It's a good cereal.
It's S-tier cereal.
It's fucking so good.
Hard-pressed for you to name me a better one.
Oops, all berries.
I definitely agree with that.
Well, that's a sub-tier.
Which one did you say? All berries?
Oops.
No.
Oops, all berries.
You can't go for oops, all berries.
But I like oops, all berries.
I haven't had it. Okay, so I'll have to try. But I do think Captain Crunch is not only a perfect cereal, but it's going to be good in a trail mix.
Trail mix? You mean Chex Mix?
No.
You mean the one with pretzels and raisins and M&M's?
That would be weird. Why do you think that's less weird, Keith?
That's a trick.
You think that, wait,
that's
are you,
weirder.
Are you talking
I think it'd be better in like a sweet Chex Mix.
No, a trail mix like you're made like a pog, that's a porn term.
Gorp.
Good old raisins and peanuts and crunch. A pork. Good old raisins and crunch.
Name me the ingredients of this trail mix.
Okay,
Captain Crunch.
Peanuts, Captain Crunch.
Uh-huh. Raisins.
No, hold the raisins.
What?
Good old raisins and peanuts.
Hold. It's a gawp.
Old Captain Crunch and peanuts.
Good old Captain Crunch. It's just Captain Crunch and peanuts. Captain Crunch, chocolate chips, peanuts, maybe like a little pretzels in there.
Here's how you make it work. Not oatmeal, but yogurt-covered raisins.
Yeah, exactly.
That would be like the milk.
Yogurt-covered raisins and, oh, really good. And then Captain Crunch and then peanuts, but... honestly, maybe even a premium, not like a cashew.
What about the peanut butter filled pretzels?
That's a really good idea, Keith. So you have the extra crunch.
I'd like to go back. You think that Captain Crunch in Chex Mix makes sense?
A sweet Chex Mix.
Also, what is a sweet Chex Mix?
Like a puppy chow.
Oh, I like puppy chow.
What's puppy chow?
You never had puppy chow?
It's Chex Mix covered in chocolate and powdered sugar.
It really is.
It pretty much is.
That sounds cool.
It's pretty good.
Crazy. It's like got a lot of powdered sugar.
I was
sugar.
Thinking that when I said Chex Mix. I do realize that typical Chex Mix is like mustard flavor.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's like mustard. There's bold Chex Mix. Like
mustard and rye chips. And a little bit of oops all berries. Chex Mix oops all berries.
It's never occurred to me that Chex Mix is mustard flavored. I've never been able to pin it.
Yeah, it's got a little mustard. Bit. Well, one of the flavorings is mustard.
It's a little revelatory for me for you to say that.
Yeah, how about that?
But I think Captain Crunch is just good in like an assorted snack mix.
I like Captain Crunch.
And so I put it in a big mason jar.
It does shred your mouth.
It's tough on the mouth for sure.
Well, sometimes you got to toughen up.
Everybody listening, I want you to use your tongue and feel the roof of your mouth and just... feel the years of pizza burns.
Oh yeah,
is that what that is? Is the roof of a baby's mouth not ridged like crazy?
I don't know. I wonder.
You think
I
my?
Feel like
you think
that's
my,
all scars? For
you think
me.
It's scar tissue?
Uh huh.
You think? Yeah,
bring your maybe. Mouth over here.
I do. I do think that. Yeah. I mean, my mouth is still a little sore from eating
because like
the other
deeper
day.
In the roof of the mouth, it's all flat and nice.
Uh huh.
But right behind the teeth, war zone.
Yeah, you think that's scar tissue? There's certainly an answer to this out there, but I don't know. I would like you guys to tell us. Let's do some follow-up next week.
Yeah, right? Instead of talking about how much you love your hometown and your cool mayor.
Your stupid hometown.
Tell us if you understand. if you understand what happened to my mouth. What's going on with my mouth? Why is it like this?
That's a good question.
Well, that was another perfect podcast.
Yeah, pretty good.
From the Webby Award-winning podcast.
That's damn right.
The Tripod.
That's damn right.
You're not our fans, but we're not friends either. We're somewhere in between.
That's right.
Maybe we're audio acquaintances.
Thanks for listening is all.
Keith, hit us with the Kirby Stuck in a Dick theme song.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Oh, it's no. The tripod.